Blog Talk Radio.
Elohim of my salvation, I'm staying down impatient as a child all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth, lead me in your truth and he'll give your soul ease.
Yah's law is perfect, converting the soul. Yah's testimony sure, making wise and bold. Yah's statutes are right, rejoicing the heart. Yah's commandment is pure, enlightened in the eyes. The fear Yah's clean, endure forever. The judgment of Yah true, and right the soul is tender. Praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah. Praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah. First and foremost, all praise to Yah, creator of the heavens, earth, and sea, and all that in them be. Scorn is reviled, Yah's fears be Yah, dissolve like fizz. Let me tell you who he is, the Almighty, El Shaddai, he who sits on high, El Elyon, the Most High, Elohim, Shalom, Yisrael, Yahweh, Eloheinu, Yahweh, Yahkai, to glorify Yah, that is my job. Yah is one, arm, leg, leg, arm, head, done. JC, down on the cross, so we never won. Our people calling on deities, blind, deaf, and dumb. They use with the cough, and misdirect is for the heat. Why my people so blind that they can't see what's right under their feet? Clear as the concrete, I'm a hunter for the lost sheep. Send the dust, check the lie to the Most High. Yah,
testimony sure, making wise
and bold. Yah,
statutes are right, rejoicing the heart. Yah, commandment is pure. Lighting in the eyes, yeah. The fear Yah clean, endure forever. The judgment of Yah true, and right us all together. Praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah, praise
Yah. Who is our King? Yah sent us into captivity for our iniquity. And who is our Judge? Yah, he'll have mercy and compassion on me. Just love him and praise him daily. Who is our Lawgiver? Yah, that's the only one, no other. That's why I left the stone cutters. All of my lovers betrayed us. This is why it is Yah, and he will save us. No more following our lust. In Yah I trust. He made my bones rise from the dust, breathed in me life. But my people hated truth, started living trite. Now we're here as it is this day, destroyed. Our men lay slain in the streets, our mothers praising images of clay. And now we need to turn to Yah. He put these curses for a sign and the wonder to be displayed.
God's law is perfect, converting the soul. Yah's testimony sure, making wise and bold. Yah's statutes are right, rejoicing the heart. Yah's commandment is pure, enlightened in the eyes. The fear Yah clean, endure forever. The judgment of Yah true, and right us all together. Praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah. Praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah, yeah.
All my people say praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah, yeah. All my people say praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah, yeah. Praise the mighty, the holy, the only one, mighty, mighty Yah. Oh, praise Yah in the heavens, praise Yah in the heights. Praise Yah, all his angels, stars of light. Praise Yah in the mountains, on earth and the sea. Praise Yah, all these kings and beasts of the deep. Praise Yah, all the saints, children of Israel. Praise Yah, you lions. Praise Yah, all his people as we go dying. Come on, yeah. Come on, yeah. All my people say praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah. Yeah, all my people say praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah. Yeah, all my people say praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah. Yeah, Yah's law is perfect, converting the soul. Yah's testimony sure, making wise and bold. Yah's statutes are right, rejoicing the heart. Yah's commandment is pure, enlightened in the eyes. The fear Yah's clean, enduring forever. The judgment of Yah true, and righteous all together. All my people say praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah. Yeah, all my people say praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah. Hallelujah, yeah, praise Yah, Shephelah to the Most High, Yah.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is, by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. Let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, bringing to you his great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 2330 Kemper Lane, bringing to you nothing but the truth. It is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. And this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our King. He's our Judge. He's our Lawgiver. And Yah is our only Savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the Savior of the world. And I praise the mighty Yah once again for allowing us, giving us this great opportunity to bring to you his great, holy, and exalted word. Tonight, we are on the fourth generation of the book of Genesis, Bereshit, our beginning. In the book of Genesis, the first book of the law, of course, the Creator let us know that we were to remember the law of Moshe. Now, was this a suggestion that we were to remember this law? Was this a choice to remember this law? Or what was this by commandment? That we were to remember the law of Moshe. And I'm here to tell you, this was by commandment. Can you remember the law of Moshe without remembering the various things he wrote? Moshe wrote five books. It's called the Book of the Law, the Book of Yahweh, the Scriptures of Truth. And what the Creator has inspired us to do, ordained us to do, is bring to you all five books. Not like other people, where they would take a whole year to go over the book of the law, where they would tell you it's 613 laws. They don't have a clue how many laws it is. Nor do they have a clue in how you are to study the law. When the Creator inspired me to teach this, he showed me how to teach it. And there's 12 different generations, 12 different origins, 12 different genealogies that Yahweh wanted us to know about so that we can study these genealogies, these generations, so that we might know our beginning and everything that has to do with our beginning. The first thing that we will study is the generations of heaven. And in the generations of heaven, Yahweh will let us know that heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. And here it is, we walk in before Yahweh, the King of heaven and earth, before his throne every day, not realizing how foolish oftentimes we are. No wonder Yahweh said he has turned his back to us. But Yahweh is prepared and ready to turn back to us, as long as we turn to him. And all Yahweh got to do is take that throne and spin it back around to face you. And he said he would do this if you did this. Watch this in the book of 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. Show you what Yahweh said, all we got to do. This is what we were bringing out in the generations that are having. In the book of 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, if my people, 14 verse, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, because you're not going to get Yahweh's attention without humility. You got to humble yourself. Here it is. We got people just, they gossip, they murmur, complain, they fuss and fight, they keep up strife and contention, but then they want Yahweh to hear them from heaven. How are you going to want Yahweh to hear you from heaven and you got all this foolishness going on? You don't realize that the eyes of Yahweh is upon the sons of men? Did not we just go over that? And what is Yahweh watching for? What is he looking for? We're going to show you. Show you what Yahweh is looking for. Watch this. Because this fussing and fighting, this strife, this debate, this contention, this is the opposite of humility. The opposite. And we're going through a lot of stuff in the book of Psalms 14. The very first verse. And we're going to go back to 2 Chronicles. I'm just doing a quick review of the generations of heaven. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no Elohim. In other words, he didn't say this out of his mouth. He just said this in his heart to let you know that he know what you're saying in your heart. Your heart is not with him. Corrupt. They have done abominable works. And let me tell you, Yahweh said there are 7 abominations in a man's heart. And let me tell you a couple of them. It's called pride, which is an abomination to Yahweh. It's called haughtiness. That is an abomination to Yahweh. Sowing discord. Lying, shedding innocent blood, hands that are swift to do evil, mischievous things. These are all abominations to the Most High. Watch what it says. There is none that does good. And watch the second verse. Because this is what Yahweh is saying. Yahweh looked down from heaven. Because that's his throne. Upon the children of men. To see. If there were any. That did understand. He looking to see. And that did. Seek. Elohim. In other words. All this fussing and fighting. This cussing. This strife and contention. And then you start crying. Because you think. You always getting the short end of the stick. You always getting the rotten apple. You always getting person with the bearer of bad news. That's because you always bringing bad news. You ain't bringing no good news to no one. It's always some type of foolishness that you're bringing. And so you know what you receive? Foolishness. You bring strife, and guess what happens? You get strife. And I'm going to show you, through the Most High, reap what you sow. And this comes from heaven. Because Yahweh the one know the truth. He know what you're sowing. And therefore you reap it. Watch what it says. Yahweh looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand. Because if you understood, you would know Yahweh watching everything. Yahweh sitting on his throne waiting for you to approach him, to seek him, so he can direct your path. But we're not getting up thinking about the throne of Yahweh and walking before Yahweh. Then we look to the heavens for if it's going to be sunny or raining. That's it. I wonder, is it sunny today? Is it raining today? Is it cloudy today? That's, you better know that Yahweh's throne is in heaven. Going back to 2 Chronicles, this 7th chapter. And right before I show you this 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, watch this. Because it's the first thing it said, if my people shall humble themselves, let me show you in the book of Psalm 18. Let me show you this. I want you to see this. This is why Yahweh wants you to humble yourself. Watch what this is. Start reading at the 24th verse. I'm sorry, Psalms 18 and 24. 18 and 24. Therefore has Yahweh recompensed me according to my righteousness. Because that's what Yahweh doing. See, in other words, you got a bunch of trouble, problems in your life. You don't realize Yahweh is recompensing you according to your righteousness. And a lot of people don't have much righteousness. They think they got more than what they really have. Watch what it says. According to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. In other words, every day you before the eyes of Yahweh. He's beholding the good and the evil to record it for that day of judgment. And watch what he says. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. That's what Yahweh would do. How are you going to be merciful and then Yahweh show you evil? No, that's not how Yahweh works. He said with the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With the upright man, you will show yourself upright. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. In other words, at the end of the day, the trouble that you have is the trouble that you sowed. The gossip about you is the gossip you put out. The problems you have, you only reaped it because you sold it. Because Yahweh said he's merciful with the merciful. He's upright with the upright. He's pure with the pure. Perverse, you will show yourself shrewd. That's what Yahweh will do. So if you desire to be blessed, there's only one thing you can do, and that is to bless, to be a blessing. If you want to be blessed, you must be a blessing, the way of Yahweh. And the way of Yahweh is from heaven above. Going back to 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, all this complaining, all this fussing, all this strife, all this contention, that's not an Elohimly people. That's not a heavenly people. That's not the ways of Yahweh. These are things that Yahweh hates. And the scriptures say to love Yahweh is to hate evil. And how are you going to love strifing and fussing and complaining and think and go and think you love Yahweh? The love of Yahweh. You showing that you hate Yahweh. Watch this in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 again. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Well, I always got to humble myself because that's the way of Yahweh. And pray. Now you can pray because the scriptures say the prayer of the wicked, no, he that turned his from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Now that I can understand why. Because the laws come from Yahweh. And Yahweh's throne is in heaven. So his laws came down to us. And so you not even trying to hear Yahweh. And since you're not trying to hear Yahweh, your prayer now is an abomination to him. Because you ain't listening to him. So what makes you think he want to listen to you? Shall humble seek my face. And why do you have to seek his face? Because he done turned you the back. And why? Because of your sins. Because of your transgressions. Because of your iniquities. And we showed you what you must do to do away with sin, transgression, and iniquity. And we're going to bring that stuff back to you. So you will know and turn from their wicked ways. Then from heaven, then will I forgive their sins. Then will I heal their land. That's what Yahweh will do. But he's not going to do it if you don't understand this law. See, you see this in the book of 2 Chronicles, but what you don't realize is this is the law of heaven anyway. Yahweh got laws. And Yahweh is not about to listen to anyone that's not humble. That's a law. He's not about to listen to anyone that ain't praying to him or seeking his face or turning from their wicked ways. This is a law. People won't confess their sins. Part of the law. He said you got to confess your sins. If you don't confess your sin, then you haven't even acknowledged your wrongs. This is the generations of the heavens. That's why you must study this thing. That's why we're going through this. And there's 12 different generations in the book of Genesis. We just had number 4. But that was number 1. Understanding number 1 should help you to turn the light on in your eyes so you can be able to see. Number 2, of course, is the generations of the earth. Here it is. Watch this. I just love this. In the book of Genesis, watch this. In the book of Genesis, the 2nd chapter, watch what Yahweh do, the 7th verse. And Yahweh Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And Yahweh Elohim planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. In other words, in the generations of the earth, see, each generation produced things in heaven and in earth. We can follow all the things that the heaven produced. But then we can follow everything that the earth produced. The earth produced man on the 6th day. The earth produced the beasts and the cattle, the creeping thing in the file on the sixth day. All made, designed, and brought forth on the third day with the herb-bearing seed, with the fruit tree yielding seed, whose seed is in itself, the grass yielding seed. This is what the earth produced. And when it produced these things, says in the ninth verse, Yahweh put this man in the garden that the earth brought forth. The ninth verse, and out of the ground made Yahweh to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight. In other words, it's good that you get outdoors and you begin to look at the beautiful trees, the beautiful herbs, the beautiful gardens. And you can build your own garden, as many of us do. And what do we build these gardens for? For food. They might be pleasant to the sight. And you go past some people's land, the gardens are so beautiful. You're like, man, look at this garden. It's gonna bring you tranquility and peace. But also, it will feed you. You will be one with the earth, and the earth can be one with you. Because now, produce, you are partakers of it. And he put this man in this garden to eat, to meditate and walk around and see how pleasant it is. But he also, the tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And here it is. Yahweh had already instructed this man, of all the trees you can freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of that. That's like me telling my son, look here, man, you can't eat mushrooms. Why, Dad? Because it don't yield and bear seeds. That's simple. Because that's a law. Hey, that ain't a law that I came up with and made. That's a law of Yahweh. That's a law of Yahweh. And Yahweh never rescinded that law. But Yahweh said, this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of that. Because in the day you eat that, you're going to die. Instruction, he told the man. And what did man do? Man forsook Yahweh, disobeyed Yahweh. And as a result of disobeying Yahweh, little do man know, there's consequences, and he should know this, to your actions. So you can do what you want to do. But make no mistake about it, doing what you want to do, there's consequences. So don't cry when the consequences come on you. Because I can assure you, you will begin to cry. But why? When you knew before you did it, the abilities of your actions. And he gave us this beautiful earth. Told us to have dominion over the earth. And how can we have dominion and not rule it, and not control it? He put this man in a garden to actually, literally, work the garden. Man had a beautiful job. The best food. But then, Now we go into the generations of man itself. And I love the generations of man because I'm part of the generation of man. Of course, I'm part of the generations of earth too. And the knowledge and the wisdom, the truth, the righteousness that I receive is not only part of those things, but that makes me part of the generations of heaven. Because you cannot be part, or you cannot have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding without being part of heaven. Where do you think these, they come from heaven? You can't dig these spirits up. You won't find these spirits under a rock. You won't find these spirits in the water. You need to check wisdom out. Wisdom says, you're not going to find me there. Yeah, going to sea. The deep said, he's not here. Going to earth, he's not here. The birds, I don't know where he came from. You got to understand where this thing originates. Genealogy. So now man, once man became a living soul, then he had a generation. And the first thing that Yahweh would do with man, he said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate. And a helpmate is called a wife. He didn't make him a helpman. If Yahweh wanted a man to have a helpman, he would have just made him a servant. Ultimately, he did. Or Yahweh would just give him a son. And you're not going to give him a son with two men. This thing is totally abominable to Yahweh. There's nothing natural about two men. It is total vanity. Just like two women is total vanity. Total vanity. How can you glory to Yahweh by engaging in this type of vanity? But he made him help me. And this is what he did in the second chapter of Genesis. Now we're talking about the generations of man. 21st verse. And Yahweh Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which Yahweh Elohim had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the earth. No, she was taken out of man. Every woman who read this and listen to this should have great respect and honor to the very thing that's like not honoring your mother and father. Your mother and father produced you. Your mother and your father, that's your beginning. That's where you, that's your origin. That's your gene in which you started from. What a gene that a woman came from, started from, was man. And you mean to tell me a woman can't honor and respect the very thing she was produced from? Unlike the clay. See, the clay can give praise to nothing. Clay can give praise to its owner. But if a clay give praise to anyone, he will give praise to the one that sculpted him, that made and formed him. See, we were just clay. We were just dirt. So therefore, we give praise to Yahweh. Because he the one sculpted us. He the one made us. He the one created us. But then Yahweh would take a woman, I take a man, and produce a woman. And yes, they give praise to Yahweh because Yahweh designed this, created this, made this. But he made it through man. Just like Yahweh designed, made, created your children. But what did he do it through? A husband and a wife. So should the children bypass the husband and the wife? No. That makes no sense. No wonder Yahweh say, honor your father and your mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which Yahdai Elohim giveth thee. And a woman should never, ever bypass her father or her husband. And why? What in the world you think she came from? That's why we got to learn the generations of the heavens, the generations of the earth, and the generations of Adam. If you marry today, you should be looking at your husband came from you. I'm now bone of your bones, flesh of your flesh. And if you don't look at your husband that way, you should be looking at your father that way. And your father should be teaching you, look, now your husband got dominion. Now your husband got the authority. Now you need to listen to him. Because you are part man. Here it is, I'm a whole man. And you part of me, but you fussing and fighting and trying to tell me what to do. And you came from me. Watch this. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall join to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. See, this is a law. This is, you cannot even law of not being one. If you're not one, it's only because you're not fulfilling the law. This is what you have to do. And let me show you when you're not one. Let me show you what happens when you're not obedient. Let me show you what happens when you don't keep the commandment of Yahweh. In the book of Genesis, the third chapter, speaking of the generations of Adam. Watch this. Watch what happens. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. Now remember, even though this serpent was more subtle, more sagacious, he had a lot of tricks. Who did Yahweh give dominion to? He gave dominion to man. And who is part of man? Woman. Jesus is not part of no man. So she still had dominion. Just like her husband. But watch this. And he said to the woman, indeed, as Elohim said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. How did she know that? From Yahweh? No. Yahweh told his son that, Adam. She learned this from her husband, so she knew the truth. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Elohim has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And Yahweh never said anything about touching it, but I can understand Adam telling his wife that. Look, don't eat it. Don't, matter of fact, don't even touch it. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for Elohim does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So he told part of the truth, but part of it was a lie. Sound like the New Testament. This is what they was getting before the New Testament was even made. And watch what it says. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, That's what Yahweh created it for. In other words, this wasn't no thing where she just, man, this is good for food. Yahweh made these things good for food. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. My goodness. Yahweh made these things pleasant to the eyes. This was no revelation. That's what he did it for. Good for food and pleasant to the sight. Watch what it says. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he what? Did eat. And why would he do such a thing when he know the commandment? He know the law. Yahweh directly gave it to him. Well, because of sin. Sin, when you are disobedient, when you are rebellious, now you got to deal with all the consequences. At this point, when a woman read this, when a man read this, now you should know how to behave. But they still don't. In other words, the woman's still trying to fulfill her desires rather than her husband's. The man's still succumbing to his wife's desires instead of fulfilling Yahweh's. Both man and woman is still, why Yahweh said, you have broken the everlasting covenant. Because marriage is a covenant. You have transgressed the law. Because this is a law. And you have changed the ordinance. Now, the woman is the head. And the man is the tail. Watch what it says. Eyes of them both were opened. This would have never happened if you understood that you the one got dominion. You let a little serpent, little snake, a little whatever it was, you let it tell you to do. You let it trick you. And you're the one supposed to be ruling and have dominion. And they knew not that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. In other words, now your eyes open. Now you're seeing and noticing things and understanding things. You thought that was a good thing. No, this is a very bad thing now that your eyes is open. The best thing for you is that your eyes be closed and you be obedient to Yahweh. But now that your eyes is open, now all the evils of the world is at your beck and call. At the doors of your heart. And I can assure you, them evils are ready, prepared to walk with you. And you will walk with them, the evils. And you don't even have to be tricked as our foremother was. Here it is, as soon as their eyes is open, what did Yahweh do? What did they have? Leaves, fig tree leaves, and cover themselves. Our women eyes open today, and instead of covering up, they want to uncover themselves. Now don't y'all see the evils? They was naked, covered up when their eyes got open. Your eyes is open, and you want to uncover. Man, this dress ain't too short, and you know it is. Man, they make all the dresses like this to sew the breasts. My goodness, come on, man. Your eyes supposed to be open, but you don't act like it. Because why? This is the generations of Adam. This generation was so corrupt. Look what Yahweh would do. In the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter. So corrupt. In Genesis, the 6th chapter, the very first verse, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of Elohim saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, they were beautiful, and they took them wives of all which they chose. In other words, they seen all these women, probably like the men see the women today, ain't covered up, eyes open. So now they mind and is open to the evils. And they just start taking them wives. I want her. I want her. I want her. Well, you got what you want. Now watch the consequences. And Yahweh said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, but that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Yahweh's spirit is so strong that man was so corrupt. Yahweh said, I'm not about to have my spirit with this man for 1,000 years, 2,000 years, and so on and so forth, with a corrupt mind as this is. And Yahweh shortened the life expectancy all the way down to 120 years old, where now to live to 120 years old is a miracle. It's a miracle. And why? Because Yahweh said, man, look, this is, I made man in my image and my likeness. And I'm not about to keep striving with men, trying to get them to understand and seek me. Because I'm looking down from the heavens on my throne, seeing if anybody understands. Seeing if anyone would seek Elohim. That's what I'm looking for. They're not trying to seek me. Nor are they trying to understand this thing. So let me remove my spirit, because I'm long-suffering. I'm compassionate. I'm merciful. But all they get is 120. That's it. That's the wrap, the ball game. So what did Yahweh do? Fifth verse. Yahweh saw the wickedness of man was great in his earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented Yahweh that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. And Yahweh said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast. Creeping thing, what do the beast got to do with anything? What did a creeping thing? Because man was ruling. Man had dominion. The ruler become corrupt. All his subjects become corrupt. And we corrupted the whole earth. And the fowls of the air. For it repents me that I made them. So Yahweh destroyed this earth by flood, 40 days and 40 nights. He did away with the very man he loved, his image and his likeness. But because Yahweh is so merciful, Yahweh is so good, watch what he says in the 8th verse. Because the 8th verse, the 9th verse is going to bring in the 4th generation in the book of Genesis. And I'm here to tell you, there's 12 generations you got to learn. And we're at the 4th. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. How did he find grace? What was so special about him? What was so special about his generation? These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. And Noah walked Elohim. And Noah begot 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japhet. And the earth also was corrupt before Elohim, and the earth was filled with violence. So Yahweh looked down from his holy habitation. He seen this man, Noah. And he said, okay, now we're talking. Now we're talking. Because Yahweh is looking down. Don't you realize he's in heaven? Earth is his footstool. So he's looking down on us from the throne, saying, is there any seeking Elohim? Is there any that understands? And he found someone. His name was Noah. So what did Yahweh do? Yahweh blessed this man. And Yahweh blessed his sons. And why is that so important? I'm going to show y'all how why that is so important. See, the heavens produce the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge, the counsel, the might, the fear of Yah that we have today. It produced all these spirits that's in the earth, the good ones and the bad ones. It gave us the laws, the commandments, the statutes and judgments. Moses had to go up and get it. The earth produced the very thing that we should be eating, the very works that we should be doing, the very rulership and dominion that we should have. Adam produced the various remnants of the earth to populate the earth, even though Yahweh said he will give us the bounds. He will give me, let me read this to you real quick. I want you to see this in the book of Deuteronomy so you can understand this thing. If they know what this means, in the book of Deuteronomy 32, the 7th verse, this is what it says. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations, and that's what we're talking about, generations. It's 12 in the book of Genesis. Ask your father, and he will show you. Your elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance. When he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. And why did Yahweh do that? For Yahweh's portion is his people. Yaakov is the lot of his inheritance. So Yahweh separated these nations according to the number of the children of Israel. Now, I may add that Adam didn't just have 12 sons. Adam had sons and daughters unnumberable. You don't even hear the names in the number of how many sons and daughters he had. You don't hear the names, sons and daughters, that his son had itself. You don't hear the names of the sons and daughters of the names of Enos and Canaan and Mahaliel and Jared and Enoch and Methuselah. I can go on and on and on. All these men had sons and daughters. You don't even know their names. Uncountable. But Yahweh separated this remnant from Adam and Adam's son and his son and his son. And that is the number of the nations all around the earth according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Because Yahweh separated 12 of Adam's sons. And you're going to see later on in other generations how magnified that is, Creator's laws. And we're going back. Because now we're on the generation of Noah. He was a just man. He was upright. And he walked with Elohim. And this man was so beautiful because, again, everybody produced what they produced. But this man, Noah, what did he produce? What was so special about him? Special about him is Yahweh wanted a servant that walked with him, that led the charge in the earth in righteousness. And since his other son disobeyed him, His other son allowed his wife, he hearkened to her voice. Well, let me get me another son that he won't make this mistake. And he didn't make this mistake. Show you how beautiful this guy was, this man named Noah, and how righteous he is. In the book of Genesis, the 9th chapter, generations of Noah. And you got to understand what this generation is all about. Noah is the 9th generation after Adam. If you know anything that we've been teaching, that nobody else is teaching, this 9th generation is the order of two. And this order of two is when Yahweh made the heavens. So in other words, when Yahweh rained down from heaven, brought up from the earth under the heavens, the flood waters, in the second month, the only servant that Yahweh would spare was this 9th generation, which represents the order of two. Because this was the son that he wanted to represent heaven. And why? Because he walked with Elohim. Why? Because he was upright. And didn't Yahweh say, to the upright I'll be upright, to the merciful I'll be merciful, to the pure I will be pure? And Yahweh had this pure, upright man that walked with him. His name was Noah. In the book of Genesis, the 9th chapter, the 1st verse, and Elohim blessed Noah and his head to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you shall be, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every fowl of the air, that all that moves upon the earth and upon the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. And why? Because not only many of these things he had to put on the ark, but why else? He didn't want the same mistake made with his son Adam, where a serpent, a beast that you're supposed to have dominion over, come trick your wife, and then she come feed you, and next thing you know, the whole world is corrupt. So no games this time. We're not playing no games this time. Now, the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on all these beasts, all these fowl, even the fish of the sea. In other words, a fish won't even bite you. A mosquito won't even bite you. They're going to fear you and they're going to dread you. Why? Because you know it. And what you teach your children, they must teach their children. That's how blessed this Noah was in his generation. And here it is, a man was so blessed. Show you how Yahweh just loved this guy and what this man would do. In the book of Genesis, the 8th chapter. And there's, it's impossible for any man to be called righteous, as Noah was called righteous, and not keep Yahweh commandments. Because Yahweh said, these commandments is our righteousness. That's what it says in the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, the 20th verse. Read it. This is our righteousness. 20th verse. And as soon as Noah gets off the ark, look what he did. And Noah built an altar unto Yahweh and took every clean beast. Now, how did he know to take clean beasts? Because this man knew the difference between the clean and the unclean. He didn't have to wait to become an Israelite to learn that. That's what Yahweh teach all the righteous. He knew the difference between the holy and the unholy. Noah built an altar unto Yahweh, took of every clean beast, every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings upon the altar. And Yahweh smelled a sweet savior, unlike any idol. They can't smell, eat, hear, or see. And Yahweh said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest. And why seed time? In other words, if you're righteous, you're looking for seed time. You're looking for the thing that bears seeds. Cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So day will never be night. Night will never be day. This is total confusion that our people have been led to believe. This is why this man was so beloved. This is why this man was so loved. And I may add, he's the fourth generation. And that's what, see, Yahweh will give you someone in the fourth to praise his name. Why do you think the name Yehuda means praises? Because they the fourth born. Why do you think Yahweh said in the fourth year you can bring him your first fruits? Because the fourth represents Yahweh praise. Yahweh said from the rising up to the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, Yah's name is to be praised. Why? Because the sun, moon, and stars was made, designed on the fourth day, which represents his praise. And Noah is the fourth generation. No wonder he was the one that Yahweh brought over to praise his name. And Yahweh didn't like doing this thing. Yahweh hated doing this thing. Yahweh said he has, how did he say it? He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Here there's a bunch of wicked people here to die. And Yahweh said, I have no pleasure in that. Watch what, look what Yahweh said in the book of Isaiah 54. In the book of Isaiah 54, it just shows you how Yahweh has no pleasure in this at all. Verse 9. Fifth verse, watch this. For your maker is your husband, Yahweh of hosts is his name, and your redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the Elohim of the whole earth shall he be called. But Yahweh has called you as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, a wife of you. When you refuse, says your Elohim. In other words, look, he's called you as a woman forsaken, grieved in spirit, a wife of you. All these incidents is the hardest things you're going to go through. And Yahweh, that's when he called you. That's when he became yours. Watch what it says. For a small moment have I forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. In a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on you, says Yahweh your Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. What is? In other words, when Yahweh had to destroy something, he hates this thing. He despised this thing. He abhors this thing. He don't like destroying nothing, not even the wicked. Watch this. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth. So have I sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor rebuke you. Because Yahweh don't like doing that. What kind of father want to whoop his son all the time? What kind of father want to put his kids on punishment all the time? What kind of father wants to withhold blessings from his children? None. They want them to be blessed. But a father knows what he has to do to bring about goodness and righteousness for his sons. For the mountains shall depart, the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, and neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, said Yahweh, that has mercy on you. This is how beautiful Yahweh is. He don't like this destruction that happens to mankind. It is you who refuse to kneel and bow before the heavens. It is you who refuse to walk in the earth and be one with it. It is you who refuse to know your genealogy, the generations of man and whom you come from. And it's you who refuse to learn how well pleased righteousness is to Yahweh. Watch what the Creator said in the book of Isaiah 42. Show you how much he loved Noah. And it wasn't just Noah, it was the righteousness. I, Yahweh, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand and will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Yes, everybody who's called will not be righteous. So don't think he's calling everybody, because not everyone have an interest in righteousness, but Yahweh do. That's his number one interest, is righteousness. In the same Isaiah 42, 21st verse. Let's start at the 18th verse. Hear your deaf, and look you blind that you may see. Who is blind but my servant? Deaf as my messenger that I sent. Who is blind as he that is perfect? Blind as Yahweh's servant. Say many things, but you don't observe. You observe not. Open in the ears, but you're not even hearing. And what are you not hearing? What are you not seeing? Watch this. 21st verse. Yahweh is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. And this is what you're failing to realize. Forget what I see. Forget what you've seen. You better learn what Yahweh is looking for and what Yahweh is seeing, because Yahweh is well pleased for his righteousness. And since he's well pleased for it, he's going to magnify that law and he's going to make it honorable. The crooked things will be made straight. You got to know this. People ask me all the time what this means. Let me show you what they ask me all the time. They ask me this, I think it's in Jeremiah, the third chapter. This is what I'm asked more than anything. I get a lot of questions, but people seem not to know what this thing right here means. Watch this. Jeremiah 3, 11 verse. Jeremiah 3 and 11. And Yahweh said to me, the backsliding Israel has justified herself more than the treacherous Yehuda. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return, you backsliding Israel, says Yahweh, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, says Yahweh, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against Yahweh your Elohim. Have scattered your ways to the strangers under every green tree. You have not obeyed my voice, says Yahweh. Turn, O backsliding children, says Yahweh, for I am married to you. And this is the question people ask me. You one of a city, two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. A lot of people ask, well, what do this mean, Moray? One of a city, two of a family. Well, first of all, what this is saying is Yahweh only taking a remnant. And the remnant that Yahweh has prophesied all through the scriptures, he only going to take a third. Why do you think Noah only had three sons? Because the third represents Yahweh's servant. This is what you have not been told. The whole earth right now is populated through three men, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. A third. And that's all Yah want anyway. A third. Because he know everybody else is not going to be willing to serve him. But what do this mean? In other words, this is a sign. One of a city. In other words, Yahweh is looking amongst all the very cities of the earth. And Yahweh saying, I'm going to at least take one of a city. And why is that? Because when Yahweh looked down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and he looked down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and Noah and Abraham asked Yahweh, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? That the righteous will be as the wicked? And Abraham said, that'd be far from thee to destroy the righteous with the wicked. And that the judge of the earth, can he do wrong? And Yahweh said, if there's 50 in a city, I would spare the whole city. And Yahweh and Abraham went all the way to 10. He said, if it's 10, if I find 10 in this city, I'll spare the whole city. But now this is the answer to the question. They don't find 10. Yahweh so merciful. Yahweh so beautiful. Yahweh said, he said right now, he's going to find at least one in that city. And then he find one in Sodom and Gomorrah, and his name was Lot. And that's why Yahweh took Lot out, because he found one in the city. And Yahweh, you know what he say, and say what he mean. That don't mean that's all he going to find, but rest assured, at least one is coming out of that city. But Yahweh is merciful, and Yahweh is righteous. But he said two of a family, because that has nothing to do with the city. He's going to find one in that city, but then he's going to look at the families amongst the earth, as he do, as he did with Noah. And he said, I'm going to at least, now there might be more, but at least two of them. And when Lot came out, who came out with him? Two of his daughters. Noah was spared. What came out? Three of his sons. And why? Because Yahweh, according to his law, said, let every matter be established by two or three witnesses. You can't even be established unless it's three. Yahweh will establish his remnant with one of a city and two of a family. Yahweh got his three. Yahweh got his servant. And Yahweh will establish man on earth as he did in the generations of Noah. Because this is the ways of Yahweh. And you won't know his ways unless you begin to know his law, his testimonies, his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and the fear of Yahweh. This is the generations of Noah. And one more fact on this point. One of the cities, and I may add, when Lot came out, that city, he didn't just bring two. He actually brought three. But one heart refused to let it go, and that was his wife. But watch this. In the book of Ezekiel, the last scripture, Ezekiel the 14th chapter, show you Yahweh is letting you know is the truth. In the book of Ezekiel 14, and watch what this says. The word of Yahweh came again unto me, saying, Son of man, when the land sins against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, will cut off man and beast from it. Now watch this. Though these three men, why three? Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it. They should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, says Yahweh Elohim. Why three? Because three represent his servant. And one of these three, all three were, but one of these three, this man called Noah, was known to be one of the most righteous men on earth. To the extent that Yahweh used him as an instrument of righteousness to let all men know through him the generation of Noah, the fourth generation. So until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you, and so do I. Shalom.
Let the judgment run down like the waters, and the righteousness flow as the stream. Let Yahweh's name be exalted in the high praises of my Elohim. Let the judgment run down like the waters, and the righteousness flow as the stream. Let Yahweh's name be exalted in the high praises of my Elohim. Yo, Yah come in the volume of the book. His word is light, so we got the killers shook. Wisdom was in the chief places from the beginning to enlighten the sons of men. But the fighting among twins ushered in sin, and brothers been beefing ever since. Yah come in the volume of the book by the truth and sell it not. So we got these robbers out here shook. Understanding is departing from evil. He flooded the earth once, and there'll be no sequel but the fire next time. That's why I'm the messenger refining the fire of affliction, opening your eyes to the foolish ways and the devil's contradiction. Let the judgment run down like the waters, and the righteousness flow as the stream. Let Yahweh's name be exalted in the high praises of my Elohim. Let the judgment run down